God in heaven, I want to thank you for the fact that you've been good to us. You've been so good to us. And Lord, we live in a world that is so broken. And it can be so easy to just feel powerless in the midst of this crisis, in the midst of all of what's going on with coronavirus and race issues and natural disasters and politics and personal battles, spiritual warfare. Lord, there's just so much going on right now, economic struggles. And I just pray, as we have some time together this evening, Lord, I just pray that what is shared would make sense. I pray that it would be helpful, that you would challenge us tonight. And God, I just pray that what I share would be exactly what you would have and nothing more and nothing less. I don't have the wisdom that's needed to do this. I don't have what these people need, but I have a burden you placed upon my heart, and that's all I have is my availability and a burden that you placed. And so, God, just do for these people what I cannot, I pray. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, clearly there's a lot going on in our world right now that has a lot of people hurting and grieving. People are mad. People are frustrated on multiple ends of the political spectrum. Some people are upset because they think that people are making too big a deal out of this. Other people are upset because for years no one has made a big deal about this. And I've actually been trying to get away from social media. I'm trying to leave this thing. It's not good for my mental health. It's not good for my productivity. And just, I would like to do life without social media, but the nature of the work that I do and the ministry opportunities that there are, I mean, some of you who know me have known that I've been harping for years that we need to use media for God, but I've been trying to get away, but it's just like God keeps pulling me back for solely posting ministry things, and then you just stay off, except for those moments. But because of recent events with the coronavirus and what's happened with George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, and the situation with Central Park and the dog and the whole scenario, like it's just been a – I laugh because it's ridiculous. Like there's just so much going on, and it's just – it's weighing on me. I feel inadequate to really do the topic justice, to really speak into the pain and the confusion and the frustration that people are feeling. And as someone whose call is to minister and to educate, it's been difficult for me to know how to enter into this field in a way that is helpful, that isn't polarizing, because you can't make everyone happy. And, you know, I think someone phrased it this way, that, you know, like, you're not chocolate. You can't make everybody happy. Like, it's one of those universal things that generally just brings happiness to people. I don't have that. And so in the midst of that feeling of powerlessness, but at the same time feeling incredulous on the things that I've seen that have taken place in our country, it's caused a lot of internal conflict for me. I posted some things, but I just feel like there's something more I need to address that's more of an overarching issue that I see that always seems to rear its ugly head in circumstances like this, in election cycles, in moments of race relations, in moments of political conflict, in moments of religious conflict. I just see this similar thread in all these moments that deeply, deeply troubles me. And I feel like I need to say something about it. So for quite a while, when this stuff started to hit the fan with Ahmaud Arbery first and then the other situation since then, I've generally been the type that I don't use my influence. I didn't look to be a public figure, but that has happened. And I've been very intentional in not using my influence to share my opinions on matters of politics or church politics, because my opinion really isn't worth much. I'm one person with one opinion among many. And my objective has been to be missional, to be evangelistic, and to focus on ministry and nurturing and other things. But I have made a mistake in recent weeks in this particular state of affairs and race relations of lumping this particular circumstance into the same category as a political issue. It is not a political issue. Now, there are people who are politicizing it, but it's not a political issue. It's an issue of basic human rights. It's an issue of basic humanity and fairness and justice. And I failed in that regard as a leader, as a public figure, and not communicating earlier on these matters. And so I just wanted to apologize for that, for one. And I want to be more intentional in being more intentional and proactive in the midst of people's wounds. Sometimes as Christians and as leaders, we can be so afraid of what people will think and so guarded that we end up being so afraid to do anything that we end up doing nothing. And our window of opportunity when a wound was open ends up being overlooked and it passes us by. And I don't believe that that's the way that God would have us handle circumstances like this. So I failed in that regard as a leader, and I want to own that. And I had many conversations with friends and friends in the Black community, like just asking for wisdom and advice. I wanted to hear their stories. I didn't want to speak into a circumstance that I really can't speak to, because that's not my life. That's not my story. Now, I've lived amongst communities and have been integrated in other ways, but I cannot fully know, and nor should I. Do I think we should ever say, I know how you feel. I can never know how you feel. But in that, you know, phase of analysis paralysis, I didn't act as quickly as I would wish, and so I just wanted to address that first of all. But my biggest concern in what I'm seeing right now, I'm not going to speak to the big picture issues in this video. I've already done that. I've already posted on what my views are on systemic racism and other issues in our country. But my main issue right now is what I'm seeing from Christians on social media. I would expect this from political pundits. I would expect this from CNN, MSNBC, The Wall Street Journal, The New York Times, Fox News, The Drudge Report, and all of these things. I would expect this from these entities to hyper-politicize these circumstances, to use them for our own gain, to push our own agendas. But I don't think we should be expecting this from Christians. Unfortunately, I think the world does expect it from Christians, because as Christians, we're terrible at stuff like this. We put our foot in our mouths. We try to fix things and correct people and fix people. We've not generally been the best at just listening and seeking to find empathy and sympathy to better understand someone's story and circumstance before we respond and accuse and condemn or give our corrections. We've generally not been the best at this. And as Paul says in the book of Romans chapter 2, I believe it's in verse 24, he says, the name of God has been blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. And he's speaking to believers. And I think that as Christians, we need to be better in moments like this, to be slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to become angry, as our brother James says. And if I just think that we need to be careful in how we handle our public communications on venues like this. I think that we forget that when I'm typing on my phone or typing on my computer in moments of frustration or inspiration based upon things that I see, we forget that we're talking to real human beings with emotions and feelings. It's not an avatar that you're speaking to. It's a real human being. And in our current context, there are people who are grieving. There are people who are hurting. There are people who are trying to process and are having to relive their own traumatic experiences because someone else has had a similar experience. And in that holy and sacred moment of someone's pain and vulnerability, we would do well as Christians to stop, to listen, to give someone the creative freedom to grieve, to process, and to work through what they're feeling and what they're dealing with, and to not just immediately jump in with our commentary, our religious platitudes, God forbid, our political platitudes. give people a space to communicate and just process through things. They have free press. It's their profile, not yours. Let them share what they need to share. And if you don't like it, you can unfollow them. You can unfriend them. You can do what you need to do. But in a moment of crisis and pain and grief, I implore you in the name of Jesus and on behalf of the Lord Jesus to give people the space to feel, to process, and to grieve. And then not be so quick to inject your opinions. And there is something that's referred to in religious circles and other circles, it's this idea of syncretism. Syncretism is basically the fusing or the amalgamation of different religious teachings or ideologies where you put them together, right? So if you have someone who is engaging in Buddhist practices while being a Bible-believing Christian and trying to fuse those two things together, that's an example of syncretism. That's not what I'm talking about today. What I'm talking about today is the syncretism of politics and religion. Claiming to be a Bible-believing Christian, but morphing my own biblical views to match my political views. We're fusing political ideologies that don't coincide with the gospel, and we're trying to make them fit into our biblical worldview. Or worse yet, we're trying to make our biblical worldview fit our political ideologies. And when we do this, we cause problems. Because one, this can fall under one of the commandments of misrepresenting God. God is not a divine politician. God is not a host or commentator on Fox News, MSNBC, CNN. He's not a journalist for the New York Times, the Washington Post, or any other of these publications. He is Almighty, Holy God, who is righteous, just, good, who is compassionate, who forgives sins, who longs for justice and mercy to be poured out on this earth. And when we start intermingling these things, first of all, it's a terrible witness. We bear false witness to God. But two, it leads us to bring this form of like arrogant superiority into a public discourse that is not helpful and it is not Christian. When we're demonizing people, when we're name-calling, right? If you cannot engage in civil discourse on difficult and challenging issues, then don't say anything at all. You're not helping the circumstances, and particularly if you're publicly claiming to be a Christian. This is not the way that we are to present ourselves to the world. It's not helpful, and especially in the midst of seasons where people are grieving, when people are going through times of loss and just trying to make sense of life. Why did this even happen? Why am I going through this? That is not the time to insert your political and even cheap, petty religious platitudes. It's not helpful. We refuse to give up our political idols, and we bring them with us to church, and it's not honoring God. And I would encourage all of us, including myself, to take the time to reflect upon what is it that has my heart's affections? What is shaping my philosophy of human life? What is shaping the way that I do life? Because if I'm changing the way I do life because of what political commentators and journalists are saying and politicians are saying, that isn't what God wants for us. It's not a healthy environment to be living and doing life. And so my plea with us tonight is to think for ourselves, to read, talk regularly with people who don't look like you, who don't think like you, and learn from them. Right? One of the large components of the Christian community is supposed to be community. Right? I'm finding that one of the reasons why it's so difficult for us to engage in civil discourse is because we feel threatened by people who don't think like I think. And the only way to get out of that is to disengage from the noise, disengage from the fog of politics, religious politics, and political politics, national politics. Take a step back from this stuff. Open your Bible. Pray with an open heart and ask God to teach you how to view your fellow man, how to view current events, how to engage with society around you. Because if all you're doing is hanging out in this echo chamber where you throw bombs at everybody else against the thems, but never come to truly realize that as a human, we're part of an us, we lose the precious gift of cross-pollination that God intended. God created in diversity. God has created all of us with diverse gifts, with a diverse way in which we look, in which we think, the way that we grow up, our food, our culture, our beliefs, and we can learn a lot from each other by engaging in discourse. We become better human beings through this process. But when we sequester ourselves to hang out only with people who think like me and who look like me and do life like me and argue with them in the same way that I argue with them, we lose out on the opportunity of engaging in the beauty that God has given to humanity. And it's a travesty. And so some of you may be trying to size me up right now and figure out, are you conservative or a liberal? And my answer to you is, I am neither. I am a Bible-believing Christian. I don't have any political allegiance. I don't have any political party that I'm pandering for. And what I've found, like I went through a span of my life where I grew up watching Fox News and listening to Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity for years. And then I went to the whole opposite side of the spectrum. I was watching Keith Olbermann and Rachel Maddow on MSNBC and having other views. I tell people that I went from drinking the red Kool-Aid to the blue Kool-Aid to now I just have a stomach ache. I'm tired of the entire process. And when I took time to just disengage from the political arena, when I stopped watching these media outlets, and I just chose to think for myself and talk with people who didn't think like me, life got better, guys. Life got better. And I found that it was easier to talk with people who didn't think like me or didn't do life like me because I didn't feel threatened by them anymore because I didn't have someone fanning the flame of my hatred towards the thems. I didn't have anyone to do that anymore. All I had was them. And I realized that it wasn't a them. It was an us. And I'm not claiming to have arrived. I got my own issues, right? I can be quick to judge. I can be quick to be impatient. I can be quick to jump to conclusions and size people up. I got my own issues too, but I've been around both sides of this political spectrum. And I'm familiar with the talking points of both camps. And I hear these chippy, antagonistic responses from Christians in times when our nation should be grieving and seeking healing. And it not only offends me, it breaks my heart. Guys, we're better than this. If we are claiming to be Bible-believing Christians, but yet we're making chippy, insensitive, politically charged comments on other people's feeds and walls and posts and blogs and websites, whenever they're processing, just working through life, what are we achieving at the end of the day? Are we making sons and daughters of God out of these individuals? Or are we pushing them even further away from God? In Ezekiel chapter 36, God intended that the nation of Israel would be a light that would reach the unbelieving world around them. Yes, they were favored. They were given a blessing, but it wasn't to remain that way. It was to show the rest of the world that you could be God's chosen people too. And God's response to the nation of Israel in Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 22 is this. Ezekiel chapter 36. And beginning in verse 22, listen to how God speaks to these people who were supposed to be reaching the world with their influence. And this is where I believe, by the way, that Paul gets his inspiration for Romans 2:24, where he says, the name of God has been blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. I believe he draws it from this text, Ezekiel 36 and verse 22. He said, this is God speaking, therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this. What I'm about to do for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. So the people who were supposed to communicate to the world how awesome God was literally led the surrounding nations to think that God is not desirable. He's unattractive. Okay? And he says, I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nation shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I'm hallowed in you before their eyes. In short, when you look like Jesus. Because right now, you don't. The good news is, the very next thing God promises to do is to do the work of transformation for them that they cannot do for themselves. The nation of Israel were bigots. They were nationalists, right? Everything is about us. No one else matters. And I'm not making a political statement. That's a literal statement of how they did life. And that's the scenario that they were working with them. We're the ones that have everything figured out. We're the awesome ones. Everyone else are losers. No one else really gets it. And this us versus them mentality kept the world from being reached. So God says, I can't have this anymore. I'm stepping in, and he promises to do the work of transforming his people. I'll remove that heart of stone out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. I'll give you the ability to be able to feel again, to have some form of sympathy for your fellow man, some form of care for their well-being, even if they don't look like you, think like you, watch the same news programs that you watch. I can do that. And he says, I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. But he says, I'll put you into your own land. I'll cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Guys, I've seen a lot of Christians that their idol is their politics. Our politics. We are Fox News loyalists. We are CNN loyalists. We are MSNBC loyalists. We're whoever else loyalists. And it's so important to us that we won't let go of it. And it's influencing the way that we interact with the unbelieving world. It's influencing the way we act with fellow believers, that we treat them as less than. And God, we can't live like this. This isn't what God intended. God says, I can cleanse you from your idols. I can give you a heart of stone and give you that ability to have sympathy and love. I can transform your life. But my question to you is, do you even want that? Do you actually recognize and do you want things to change? And I don't know your story. Maybe this isn't your issue. I don't know. But what I do know is it is very, very prevalent right now on social media by Christians. It's got a stronghold on a lot of us. And I'm just asking us to look introspectively this evening. Is this the way that I'm doing life? The solution to our world's problems is not going to be found in politics and demagoguery. It's the gospel. And if we're peddling these insensitive and ridiculous statements, then we need to earnestly bring this before God and ask him if this is really how we should be spending our social and relational capital. Relationships are like bank accounts, guys. And every time we make insensitive, chippy, platitudinous statements to people, we take money out of that account. And our ability to make an influence and to lead these people to Jesus and to do good things in their lives has now diminished. Right? We go into debt when trying to make those types of transactions because we took money out when it wasn't needed to be removed. And so just ask yourself, how am I engaging with the community around me? And is it helpful? Is it hurtful? CNN, MSNBC, Fox, all are reporting with agendas. I see it. And I don't even get my information from them largely anymore. There's actually a website called allsides.com. Allsides.com. And it's a news aggregator. It separates articles by the political spectrum. And you can weigh out what side you're going to believe. What are they saying about this? What's the left saying about this? What's the right saying about this? What's more of a center-rated article that's just reporting the news as it happens? And take the opportunity to think for yourself. Just because so-and-so says it doesn't mean that you need to believe it. Ask yourself, is this actually true? And do the research. I find that there's a lot of intellectual laziness that goes on with a lot of our reposting and our commentary that we don't even fact check. Oh, yeah, that agrees with what I say. Share. But we don't even look into it and see, like, hey, those statistics are from 10 years ago, and they're not even accurate. We don't even look into these things. And in turn, we're fanning these flames of discord and polarization and hatred that is not helping the overarching circumstances. And we need to think for ourselves, guys. Please think for ourselves. We're being programmed to believe what we're told from the public school system, from the media, from universities, pop culture, and even from religion. And I see so much of this when topics like this come to the surface again in America. And I can tell by what people comment on posts where they're getting their information. I can tell very quickly, that person listens to Rush Limbaugh. That person's listening to Rachel Maddow. this person is listening to whoever. Like, I can tell where their sources are coming from in the way in which they address other people who don't think like them and the points they're making. Because there's nothing new under the sun. We're recycling somebody else's well thought out and sculpted arguments. We're not actually thinking through the logic ourselves. So if you only watch conservative or liberal news and surround yourself with people who think the same things, it's very good evidence that you are not thinking for yourself. You're just somebody's political pawn, and your identity is in partisan nonsense and not the gospel. And this isn't what God wants for us. God wants something so much better for us. To have an identity that's based upon Jesus and the price that he paid for our lives and for our souls. And that's what he's looking for us to encounter tonight. And so I would strongly encourage anybody within the sound of my voice to disengage from the political realm and learn to think for yourself. You're being groomed to be used by people to accomplish their agendas. And with the crisis that's soon to come upon this earth, I fear that many of us are so caught up in this nonsense that we're not going to be able to think biblically on issues that are going to be relevant in the judgment. We are not going to be able to think biblically in circumstances and issues that are going to become relevant in the judgment that's to come. Right? Read what Jesus says about the sheep and the goats in Matthew chapter 25. Read Isaiah chapter 58. Walk through Scripture and see what it is that God is asking of his people and choose to live your life in that fashion. Right? Don't choose to live your life because a politician says this, or the president says that, or the former president says that, or this organization, or this activist. Guys, if you are a Christian, a Bible-believing Christian, the only thing that should be shaping your identity, your worldview, and the way that you do life with your fellow man is Scripture and Scripture alone. Is it good to be informed on current events? Yeah, it is good to be informed on current events. But if the outlets that you're running to find yourself informed on current events are eclipsing clear truths of Scripture on how to interact with your fellow man, you are in dangerous territory. It is dangerous. And this is not what God wants for us. It's not. Scripture has to be our defining metric. Do we really want to come before Jesus during the judgment and tell him, look, I know I didn't do anything for people who were hurting, and what I did do is basically make chippy and politically driven and sensitive comments to kick them while they're down, but I do read my Bible and go to church. I pay a faithful tithe. Sometimes I even give Bible studies. Right? Before we make our snarky comments, ask yourself, what are you doing to improve the state of the world, to improve the quality of life in this world and the people around you? And if those comments that you're making are not going to uplift somebody else, if they're not going to help somebody else, or make a substantive difference for the kingdom, why say it? Why say it? Why waste the time? And then why camp out on that feed to see what somebody else says to your comment and then give your well-thought-out rebuttals? Guys, there's so much more to life than arguing with people on the internet. There's a world to be won. People are suffering right now. People are hurting right now. And you're spending your life arguing with people on the internet? This isn't what God wants. Right? If you're going to use mediums like social media, use it to educate. Use it to speak life into people. Use it to speak truth and grace into this world that is suffering and looking for answers that the Word of God can actually give them. Guys, this Word is powerful. I'm assuming it changed your life, and that's why you chose to be a Christian. If it's changed your life, then open this thing, share it with people who don't know what you know, and let it change their lives. But they're not going to want to listen to what you had to say spiritually whenever you're making insensitive comments on their feeds, on their videos, and in chat rooms. I saw a post the other day of a lady who made these incredibly racist, like not even like, oh, you're just like literally racist comments using the N-word. And then you look at the front page of her, somebody decided to out this lady. So they took a screenshot of the chat, and then they show another screenshot. They go look at the lady's profile. They searched her and found her. The first thing it says is, you know, Bible-believing Christian, Jeremiah 29:11. But this lady was saying some seriously racist, horrible, repugnant things. Guys, that's syncretism. That isn't biblical Christianity, it's syncretism. It's fusing political and racial, you know, racist ideas together and claiming to do the same. It doesn't work. Not only does it not work, it's just not good. And so even if you disagree with someone's conclusion or the logic that they're using, you don't have to say something when they're crying out in their pain. You can just choose to say nothing. Being right is not righteousness. Your opinion isn't helping in moments like this. And it's an act of emotional violence to kick someone while they're down when we do so. Christians don't live like that, guys. Christians don't do life like that. And so I would encourage all of us to hold ourselves to a higher standard, to a higher form of credibility and accountability. Because, you know, when you criticize other people for how they address injustice, but you do nothing about it yourself, you forfeit the right to be heard or taken seriously. So just go ahead and excuse yourself from the discourse because you're contributing to the problem. So if this is something that maybe you feel isn't a big deal, then let other people deal with it who do think it's a big deal. Right? It's just strange to me. It's maddening to me, really. Guys, people have died. People have died that should not have died. And their families and communities are grieving. We're Christians. And let's be better than this. Right? When we throw these one-liner statements that we heard from other political pundits at people who are grieving and processing through things just because they don't see things the way that you see it or think the way that you think, is that really necessary as a Christian? Look, if you're not a Christian, you don't care about any of these things, I'm not asking you to live up to this type of a standard. But if you are claiming to publicly be a Christian, but you're engaging in discourse like this and making unhelpful comments like this, then we need to grow up. We need to grow up. We need to mature, and we need to come before Jesus and repent. To repent of our sins and say, God, I've been so judgmental. I've been so inconsiderate of what other people are going through. I've been more concerned with being right than being the type of Christian that you would have for me to be. And I'm sorry. And God, would you change me? Would you teach me how to have civil, intelligent, gracious discourse with people who don't think like I think? And if they start getting animated and argumentative, I can kindly excuse myself from that conversation because I don't need that drama in my life. You can do that. We can actually do that, guys. And it can make a difference. So ask yourself, do I go around correcting everyone who makes statements that I feel are false or misguided in my everyday life? Chances are probably not. And if you do, you probably need to talk to Jesus about that. If you're correcting everything that you think is wrong around everybody else around you, that probably means you're not looking in the mirror and looking at your own brokenness and issues. The church at Laodicea had that problem in Revelation chapter 3. You think you're rich and have need of nothing, but you're actually miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You're not who you think you are. And you probably need to encounter the Laodicean message as the rest of us do, to recognize that we are not who we think we are. We need Jesus, and that I need to come to Jesus for the solution. And what I'm so thankful for is that even though that person's religious experience made Jesus want to vomit, he kept knocking on their door. He saw something in them that they didn't even see in themselves. And I'm so thankful for this, that Jesus, even in our dark moments, when we aren't who we should be in moments like this, when we're lacking in sympathy and not being who God would have for us to be, Jesus still loves us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 that God shows his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. You know what that tells me? That while I'm still sinning, being a savage on the internet, being critical, being unkind to the people around me, God's loving me. And Jesus was sent to die for me even in that condition. Not to remain in that condition, but to come and live a law-abiding life and to send the ministry of the Holy Spirit into my life to convict me that I have sinned, that I've not done rightly, that I have not lived a righteous life, and that the judgment is coming where these things matter. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And the Holy Spirit is sent into our lives to show us in moments like this, when we're not being who we should be, there's a better way. And Jesus offers us a solution in himself. A gold tried in the fire, he says, a faith that works by love. White raiments, a robe of Christ's righteousness, because we have no righteousness of our own. And eye salve, spiritual discernment to recognize our true condition. We can lose sight of it. And when all we're doing is hanging out in the echo chamber and listening to what everybody else says, which is just like what I believe, then it's very easy to assume that I need to correct people and judge people and look down on people who aren't like me. That's ideological racism. And potentially racism, period, in certain contexts. That's not what God's called us to. God has not called us to show preference to any man. God is no respecter of persons. Jesus died for the sins of all of humanity, and he's asking us to treat our fellow man with kindness. So the chances are you're not walking around and correcting every single thing that everybody says in the way that you do proper life, you know, when you walk on your two legs and talk to real people face to face. Well, why are we living that way on the internet? Because we don't see that they're real people. I didn't have to see their face. The face is about this big on my screen. Guys, when you make comments like this, chippy platitudes from politicians to downplay the importance of real substantive issues, right, or just insensitive comments in any form or fashion, when we make these comments, we forget these are human beings with feelings, with life stories that we know nothing about that led them to post what they posted. There's a whole trajectory, a whole trail that led up to that point when they said what they said, when they posted what they posted. We can't know, and it's none of our business. But, guys, we don't need you to be the police to tell people what to think or what not to think. It's not helpful. If someone isn't asking for dialogue and constructive criticism, you don't have to give it. Treat social media as if these are real people that you would actually have to look in the face and see again tomorrow. You know why? Because they are real people. Now, if we're going to claim to be Christians, then please, please, please treat people with the respect and dignity that Jesus died to afford them. That's what we're asking. If you don't agree with their political views, you don't have to agree with them. I'm not asking you to adopt their view. I'm not asking you to agree with them. What I am asking you to do is to treat them with grace, with love, with forbearance. And if by some means, if the Holy Spirit is convicting you to have a conversation with this person, do it through private messaging and be respectful. If you're curious how they came to adopt their position. Someone just did this for me the other day in a very gracious way. I made a post about something that I see, and someone sent me two videos through private messenger, said, hey, what are your thoughts on these videos? And I had seen those videos before. One of them I had, the other I hadn't. I watched them, and I shared my thoughts in a very respectful way. They were very respectful with me. They were just trying to figure out what to believe. And you can have discourse to learn from each other and ask questions. But to be argumentative and condemning and to treat people like they're stupid because they don't think like you think, if you're going to claim to be a Christian, you can't have both. That's syncretism. To be snarky, political, and mean while claiming to be a Bible-believing Christian is syncretism. It's not Bible Christianity. I don't care where you go to church. I don't care how many verses you have memorized. I don't care how many Bible studies you've given in your life and how many people you've baptized. If you cannot season your conversations with kindness and genuineness and an openness to listen and to learn, is it really a conversation worth having? That's the question, guys. So I'm working through this. I hope and pray that this can be helpful for you. This isn't just, you know, me saying that everybody else has got things wrong and I've got it figured out. Look, I told you, I've got poisonous root structures from the left and the right in my system. And I have certain things that trigger me. I had to call a friend today and just tell him, I'm mad. I'm mad. And I don't want to be mad. I don't want to have a conversation with people right now on a live stream that's not going to be what it needs to be, to just talk through it, to pray together, to work through it. And I'm thankful for godly friends. Actually, I had another friend and mentor and someone who just said, hey, there's a bigger context than what you're aware of on what's going on in the world. Make sure you're using your influence appropriately. And I appreciated that call. I'm thankful for it. So, guys, what are you doing with the influence that God has given you? Because everyone has it, right? There are people that you can reach right now, that you have access to right now that I don't have access to. What type of witness are you giving them as a Christian in the midst of hot topics in this country right now? There are people who are hurting, who are grieving, wrestling with some serious challenges, seeking to find solutions to those challenges. And sometimes the things we do to seek those solutions may not be the best thing. And other times they are the best thing, and we get heat from people even though we're doing it right. You're never going to be able to please everybody. But this is why if you're developing a biblical worldview, right? If you're bringing all of your ideologies, all of your opinions, and laying them on the altar of God's Word and asking Him, what do you want me to do about this issue? What do you want me to say about this issue? What do you want? How do you want me to live in a world that's wrestling with this issue? Now it's a safe place to go forward. But if you're just flippantly reposting and making snarky comments, guys, that's bearing false witness. It's bearing false witness, and it isn't helping God's cause. So you can probably see it in my face. I'm tired. I'm grieving. I'm hurting. I'm trying to make sense of life. I'm trying to make sense of who I am in times like this. And it's just been it's a challenge for me. But what I'm going through right now isn't anywhere close to what a majority of people are going through right now in this world who are hurting and trying to make sense of what is happening. When does our time come? When do our answers come? I can't hold a candle to that, but I will say this. God has solutions. God has solutions. Whatever happens in November is not going to solve this world's problems. Only Jesus can do that. And so I plead with you on behalf of Jesus, seek out what can make lasting and eternal impact in this world and use your energy in that. Don't camp out on social media to argue with people you don't even know. There's more to life than that, guys. There's a world to win, and we're not going to win them like that. We're not. So what I'd like to do is pray and just ask that God would take what we've heard this evening and do something with it. I feel like I've got my two mites like the widow that Jesus saw, and I wonder, can this even make a difference? But I just hope and pray that God will use this to do something to help people to engage in a more civil discourse as we're trying to figure out what really is going on, how to address it, and how to move forward. God in heaven, I just feel wholly inadequate to address what I see in the world right now. I feel like Solomon. Lord, I'm but a child. I don't know how to go out or how to come in. But Lord, I see that this world is hurting. There are things I see that deeply trouble me. And I'm not okay with it. And I'm struggling at times to know what to do about it. But I'm praying for wisdom. I pray that for anyone who watches this or hears it later, Lord, that you would give us wisdom to know how to engage this world right now. And Lord, I pray for those who are suffering right now under loads that society is placing on them that they didn't ask for. I pray for those who are hurting in other ways and are just wrestling to know what to do. Lord, I was thinking of giving another doctrinal Bible study tonight, but I just felt like I just can't. People are hurting and something has to be said to at least somewhat stop the bleeding while we figure it out. And so, God, I pray that these few fish and these few loaves, that these widow's mites that I've given to you tonight, I pray that you would do something with them, Lord, to make a tangible and substantive difference for your sake. I don't care if anyone knows who I am. I just want people to know who you are. And I don't want people to hurt each other in the midst of such a raw and tumultuous time in our country and in our world. So as Christians, Lord, teach us how to live. Teach us how to speak. Teach us how to engage with the world in a moment like this. And I pray that that balm of Gilead would be in our tongues. I pray that you would show us how to serve, how to love, how to uplift, how to make a tangible difference in this world right now. And that you would do something wonderful. God, I don't have what this world needs, but you do. And so I just pray that you would use me as one of your instrumentalities to minister those graces to a world that's hurting and in such great need. I ask these things now in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.